This is your Wendy's wake-up call. Start your day with a better breakfast and get a free drink with any of our morning-making breakfast sandwiches. That's your favorite drink in a Wendy's cup, free. Fresh brewed coffee, free. Diet Coke, free. Vanilla Frosty Chino, that's cold brew plus Frosty Creamer plus free. So don't sleep on this deal. Get any size drink in a Wendy's cup free when you buy any breakfast sandwich. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's. On the card only. Offer valid upon request on lowest price qualifying item. Not valid for third-party delivery.
And now the weather. Expect partly cloudy skies with an excellent chance of maximum refunds. Wait, that can't be right.
Oh, but it is.
Who are you?
I'm April. And we could see refunds raining down all tax season with people switching to TaxAct.
TaxAct?
The tax filing software that makes it easy to file for less and get more.
New forecast. It's sunny days ahead for everyone using TaxAct.
Always happy to brighten your day.
TaxAct.
Switch to TaxAct today and start for free.
See TaxAct.com for details.
Welcome to the Browns Wire Podcast. This is your host, Josh Keatley. With me is a very special guest, former Super Bowl champion, all-pro safety, basically a Cleveland Browns legend, TJ Ward. TJ, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's exciting to have you on the show, especially around playoff time. You know, you got that big, fat Super Bowl ring. You have experience. You've been on a crappy Browns team. So you can kind of give us some insight as to what's going on. It's a good week to have you on. What can you tell us about what might be going through these players' minds?
Man, it's exciting time, man. Playoff football, this is the best time of the season where the games really count and everything, you know, it really matters. But, man, it's some nerves. You know, flowing right now through some of the players, especially the guys first time in the playoffs, because you don't know what to expect. You know, especially when I first got to Denver my first year, we had a home game against the Colts, and the atmosphere is completely different. You can't really prepare for it if you haven't been in it. It's just something you have to experience, and then hopefully you can experience throughout your career. But, you know, for the ones that aren't as fortunate, it only comes a few times.
Yeah. Well, there's only 12 guys on the current roster that has playoff experience. I think Malcolm Smith was the most the one that made it the farthest. He's got a Super Bowl ring as well. You know, Donovan and I talk a lot about gambling, and we talk about a lot about predictions and trying to get – a lot of that revolves around trying to figure out what these players are thinking. And with the Browns winning and getting into the playoffs, and it was – you know, the last week was a win-it-to-get-in-it situation. The players were pretty pumped, and they were celebrating – to me, I thought that was, hey, it's game over. They're not going to win the first round. That was their Super Bowl. You know, I'm trying to understand their headspace. Is that a reasonable thought, or am I completely off base there?
No, you have to celebrate the moment. You know, you work that hard and you accomplish the goal. So, you know, celebrate that accomplishment, but don't do it too long. So they have every right to celebrate getting into the playoff. I mean, it's been 20 years, so
yeah.
It's not like 2 years, three, five, 10, you know, it's 20 years. So to not celebrate that is almost, you know, not human. So celebrate it for a couple hours, 24, and then get on to the next game because, you know, that wild card game is coming fast.
Absolutely. You know, and they obviously have some issues, right? The COVID situation, Kevin Stefanski has it. I think that the only players that they've eliminated has been Joel Bitonio. And then obviously you saw Jedrick Wills and Rashard Higgins got citations for drag racing. Do you think that we're talking guaranteed the guard's not going to play. Kevin Stefanski's not going to be on the sidelines. Olivier Vernon's going to be on the sidelines because of his Achilles injury. The Browns barely beat most of the Steelers' backups. Do you think that they got a chance here, man? Be real with me.
I mean, you always have a chance in the playoffs. I mean, that's some big hits. You know, your head coach first and foremost is, I mean, people think that, oh, he's right. Just a head coach. He's not out there playing. He's not doing this. But the head coach is very important, especially during the game, controlling it, making sure the flow is going the way that he wants to, make sure the team is reacting to the ups and downs of the game, you know, so – you know, the head coach, he's the head coach for a reason. He's very vital. And then Vernon going down, he was playing amazing. You know, he was with huge plays when they needed him. that's going to be detrimental to the defense. Betonio, yeah, he's a great, you know, he's the best offensive lineman right now. And yep. for him to go down, you know, that's crushing. So, I mean, that's three big blows, but somehow they're going to have to, you know, rally around each other, and coach is going to have to get them together and prepare for his absence. And, I mean, they have a chance. They always have a chance. They're in the playoffs for a reason. They got a chance.
Absolutely. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. That's some pretty positive thinking. Now, you talked about Kevin Stefanski as the head coach. You actually have prior experience with the Browns defensive coordinator in Joe Woods. And, you know, I follow you on Twitter. I saw you tweeting about the Browns defense and Joe Woods. What is he like as a coach, as a person? I mean, is this the Browns' answer as a defensive coordinator for the long term?
I believe so. I mean, if he doesn't get a head coaching job somewhere, because, you know, coach, he knows his stuff. Joe Woods knows football, and he knows offenses, and he knows how to prepare and stop what they do best. And that's why we, you know, we're so well prepared in Denver, along with Coach Wade. Coach Wade, those two guys, you know, we were ready. Like, when we came into a game, we were fully prepared. We were never caught off guard unless it was some trick play that we hadn't been seen. But if they ran it and we've seen it on film, then we were prepared for it. So that's what he brings to Cleveland. I know their defense hasn't been superb, but, you know, they've been absent in some areas. But as far as their game plan and, you know, holding up when they need to in key situations this year, they have. They've done that. And Coach Joe Woods, he's prepared them. And I think the performance this week, you know, is going to surprise some people. I think the coach is going to get them up for this game, especially. I mean, they shouldn't have to get up for this first playoff game in 20 years, but
right.
The coach is going to get them right for sure.
Wow, that's some pretty big praise to say that you think that Joe Woods, his next step is going to be a head coach somewhere. I mean, you know, because you know the history of being a defense coordinator in Cleveland has not been so great, and they've had some guys that have gone to different places and have been successful, so it hasn't been all their fault. So, I mean, obviously you must have had a very good experience with him, and that obviously brings some positivity and shines him in a positive light. Because like you said, the Cleveland Browns defense has not looked super great at times. So that, to me, that's something that I noticed when watching him as well. I don't know necessarily think it's his fault. I think a lot of it falls on the talent that he's coaching. You know, we see Andrew Sandejo playing, who's a very solid safety, but he wasn't supposed to be the starter, right? It was supposed to be Grant Delpit. You know, we saw Greedy Williams get hurt, Denzel Ward get hurt. Are you seeing the same thing? Is there something I'm missing? What's the deeper layer here?
When you see, I guess you can judge a coordinator by guys in position. Like, if a guy is in position to make a play and he doesn't make it, then you can't, you know, you can't put that on a coach or a coordinator. Like, defense is like a puzzle. You feel me? Every piece fits in its place. And sometimes guys don't fit in those places that they're supposed to be. Like, you can't put that on a coordinator either. So there's a lot of aspects, but there are certain things that you can't put in on the coordinator, you know, timing of play calls and, you know, different things like that. But overall, if guys are in a position to make a play and they don't make it, then that's just on them.
And overall, you feel like Joe Woods has put those guys in position?
Yeah, overall, for sure. For sure, overall.
Okay, what do you think their biggest weakness on defense is?
The biggest weakness on defense? Oh, man. I mean, early the tackling wasn't too good. It wasn't good at all. I think there were some missed assignments early, too. They gave up a few touchdowns, especially Baltimore game, on some missed assignments. But like I said, recently I think they're getting to the quarterback a lot better. And they've been tackling a lot better on the back end, which was, like I said earlier, was terrible earlier. But I think their confidence is rolling in and right on time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you talked about those missed assignments, and a lot of those came in the defensive backfield. Can you – I mean, obviously, you were part of the great no-fly zone. Is a lot of that based because there's no communication or because these guys don't have a whole lot of experience with each other? What is causing these missed assignments?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely pre-snap communication. That's usually what it comes down to. You're not communicating before the ball is snapped, then – No, it's hard to communicate while the play is going on. And then if you try to communicate while the play is going on, it's usually some type of miscommunication, and that's when you see guys wide open and guys looking back at each other like, what happened? So,
yeah,
Yeah, it's definitely just the chemistry. You know, it has to build over time, but it can be sped up by having vets and players that have been around back there and, you know, directing traffic, guys that are knowing what's coming, anticipating what's coming, and, you know, communicating with the rest of the defense.
Absolutely. Do you mind if we move to the offensive side of the ball and talk a little offense with you?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, obviously, you played with some great quarterbacks. Peyton Manning comes to mind. Obviously, I you know, as far as – you've played with a wide variety of quarterbacks in the NFL. Obviously, with Browns Twitter, he's kind of a very controversial figure. Baker Mayfield's a very controversial quarterback. People love him. Some people think he sucks. I don't know why they think he sucks. I tend to think that Baker Mayfield is the man, but maybe I'm biased. So you tell me. You're the expert. You tell me what you see. Is he the guy of the future?
I'm probably right in between the two. I don't think he's the man. I don't think he sucks. But I said earlier in the few that he just needed some time and develop some things around him, and he'll be straight. He'll get the job done. And I think, you know, that running game has been working tremendously with the two backs back there, and Baker's making the plays that he has to make. You know, the play action is working excellent, and, you know, he's getting the ball downfield. Landry's been balling. So, like I said, man, they really, once you get that run game going, it helps the pass game, especially the play action. And Baker can move. You know, he can move. He can void guys. He gets guys off balance with pump fakes. And so that play action definitely works for him.
You know, and I saw you in some interviews on ESPN and whatnot. And when you talk about Peyton Manning, there's like a look in your face like, oh, man, like he's really good. And I can feel that. What's the difference? Tell me, how do you get to that level? Because you have a different feel for it. Because A, you played against NFL quarterbacks, and B, you played with one of the best ever. So how do I know when I see it? What can you tell us
from the outside in?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a good question. You know, I wish I was along for Peyton's whole ride to know when it changed, but.
See, there's the look again. When you talk about Peyton Manning, it's just like, God damn, he must have been good. You know what I mean?
When it switched or when you got that aura, but I wish I was. No, but I think, you know, it develops over time. I don't think it just, you know, comes. It just develops over, you know, your habits, what people continuously see you to do and see how you approach the game. And, of course, you have to win and, you know, put up some decent numbers while winning. But it's the whole package. Like, you have to start, you know, pretty much starts high school, college at Peyton's, you know, at Peyton Manning's level. You know, that he's been developing that his entire life. So it's few people that can even get that because they don't come from that pedigree. So
that makes sense.
Good luck. You feel me? Good luck. But for guys that are just coming along, getting it out the mud, like we like to say, it's like you just got to develop great habits, win, and trust. The teammates have to trust you and believe that, you know, you're going to get them to the next level and get them to where they need to be. And that's everybody on the team, not just a select few or half the team. That's each and every soul.
That makes sense. Now, you mentioned Nick Chubb in the run game, and you played, again, for everybody that's listening, TJ Ward, former All-Pro, Super Bowl MVP. The dude knows what he's talking about, All-Rookie. When we talk about Nick Chubb, again, that's another player that the Browns fans are divided about, mostly because they're worried that eventually they're going to have to pay him Ezekiel Elliott, Derrick Henry, Todd Gurley kind of cash. What is your feeling about running backs and the whole hashtag running backs don't matter thing?
Hey, you pay him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Pay me. That was a lot of confidence.
Hey, I'm a Chubb fan. You could ask anybody I know from day one. I'm like, Chubb is cold. Like, he cold, and that offense doesn't work the same without him. You just don't find backs like that in the draft. I mean, if you're even in a position to get that pick, to get a back that will or that good. And Browns don't want to be in that position anymore. You got it.
Right.
Right. So this is a standard. It's set. So everything else from here on out is playoff and low-end first-round draft picks. So
now, and I think that a lot of that conversation comes from people that haven't played the game. Right. They don't understand that when you're tackling someone that weighs 240 and it's constantly barreling down on you and it's the fourth quarter, you're huffing and puffing, how it kind of defeats you. I mean, is that a fair assessment that maybe that's why people think that? Because no, they're not in the game.
I love it because I love that old school ball. You know, everybody, I mean, the game has kind of gotten wide open and it's fancy and it's cute. Guys like pitches and reverses and Patrick Mahomes. And that, no, that's football is dope. But football is football. When you get back to the nitty gritty and down to the basics, is who hits harder for the longest. And
yeah,
you see Derrick Henry running the ball at the end of the game. You got guys getting out the way. They don't even want no part of Chubb running that fast. Like, I think I read something or heard a quote. He said he don't even have to make a move because guys are either going to miss or just get out the way. And then after that, I start really watching. I'm like, yo, guys don't want to tackle him because he's that big running that fast. So,
yeah.
I mean, guys now in this game. But, yeah, man, I think especially in the playoffs, like you need that running game, and that's why I say we Browns have a chance because we can run the ball, and Pittsburgh hasn't done so great at that this season. So
yes, that's true. So when you were prepping, did you hate who would you rather play? A team that throws the ball constantly, like the Kansas City Chiefs, or a team that pounds it down your throat, like the Tennessee Titans? I'm just picking two random teams that can't pop in my head.
I don't like to play the Titans because I know that's going to be a game for me. I'm going to be getting a lot of action, so I'm going to have a lot of tackles. I'm going to be have an opportunity to make a lot of plays because, I'm a strong safety. I'm in the box a lot. Not saying that I don't like the wide open stuff, but for me, I'm a physical person, so I like to get physical.
That makes sense. I noticed you said we a couple of times to talk about the Browns. Yeah. I like that. You still.
I said we, man. I got nothing but love for Cleveland.
Is that right?
Yeah, man. I got a lot of friends still in Cleveland. I talk to all the time. So, yeah, man. It's my NFL home. I was drafted there, so I always love Cleveland.
Okay. Well, obviously your better moments were in Denver because you got the big ring, right?
I can't have two loves.
That's fair. Can we talk a little bit about your playing career and your experiences that you had?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, perfect. So obviously, what was it like going from basically it was like a yin and yang, black and white thing, going from the Cleveland Browns where you were struggling, very rarely were you seeing wins, to the Denver Broncos, where you're playing in the Super Bowl. And not only were you playing in the Super Bowl, you kind of got screwed out of the Super Bowl MVP a little bit. You got the interception, the fumble recovery. You almost took that to the house. But I guess that's another topic. But what was it like going from that?
It was night and day, like you said. It was night and day.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was night and day. It was a I wouldn't say it was completely night and day. It wasn't completely night and day. But coming into Denver's locker room, like the first team meeting we had was it camp or OTA? Okay, I can't remember. It was camp or OTA. So we had our first team meeting, and it had to be OTAs because this was our first team meeting of me being there. So we had our meeting, and at this time, we're getting the basics of what's going on during the offseason. So coach talks, trainers, equipment. Everybody talks in the building, what you need. So meeting over, usually, boom, damn. So at the end of the everybody talking, head coach talks, Peyton comes up and talks, like, does his spiel about the season, how he felt last season went, and how he, thinks we should go into this season. And we got some additions, me being a free agent and this and that. Then we broke it up, and I was like, yo, I've never seen a player, like quarterback, anybody, like talk after the coach. Like, usually the head coach is done. Everybody go to your position meetings. So, seeing that was a little different. That's when I knew, this was, the Peyton Madden, the real quarterback, type. So I was excited about that. And, it motivated me for sure, because that level of being a player is different. You feel me? Like, it's a different kind of status for players in the league.
What, so was that the biggest difference? I mean, was there a culture difference with the coaches? I know you had a lot of head coaches in Cleveland, so that's not really a fair comparison, but was it just like, what were the, was, is the all around culture different, or was Peyton really the X factor there?
Well, I mean, I got here, I had three coaches. So first year we had Foxy, John.
Oh, that's right.
And then we got,
Donovan, thanks for joining. Donovan Jen just joined us.
We got Kubiak, and that's what we won the Super Bowl with. And then Vance came the year I exited. So it wasn't really a change in – it was still, you know, revolving door coaches. I was like, dang, I thought I got away from that. But other than that, it was – other than that, around the building and stuff, it wasn't too different. Like, the way, you know, we went about work, you know, with each coaching staff was a little different, but – it wasn't, when you think about, oh, is the culture completely different? Like, kind of not. But as far as going to work in the same kind of routine, you know, most teams do the same routine.
So we talk to a lot of guys that get drafted a lot, you know, but we don't talk to a lot of people that were prize free agents, right? You know, you, when you left Cleveland, you were a big prize free agent. I mean, you were when you were signed by Denver, it was looked at as one of the final pieces to make a serious run. What was it like being courted? I mean, because you kind of had to walk through the desert a little bit in Cleveland before you reached the promised land in Denver. So what was it like being courted? Why did you make that decision? What all went into that?
I mean, it felt great. No, at the time I was kind of thinking about going to another agent too. So I was courting agents and almost about to court some teams, but it was amazing. It was cool. Cause even though I was a second round pick, I didn't feel like a highly touted coming out. You know, I was probably predicted like fourth, fifth round. And I had
really,
initially. Yeah. I was fourth. I think I was fourth or fifth prediction. And then later I moved up to like third, and like, right before the draft, I was getting second round grades. Right before, but
wow,
it was like, yeah, I got drafted second, but it was still like, okay, this guy from Oregon, nobody, everybody was like on the SEC, Big Oral Thomas and Eric Berry, them guys coming out, so that was cool. I was whatever, but then when free agency came and I was, you know, trying to look at places to go, I really didn't think that Denver, honestly, like, wasn't a place. Even though I watched the Super Bowl, I didn't think they were going to be really in the market for a safety like that. And, you know, it would happen in one night with Denver. They called one night. We talked. I was like, yeah.
That's wow. What
it really wasn't too many other teams that I even listened to. And I can't even tell you who the teams were. I think it was like maybe two or three other teams that really were, you know, pressing.
Wow. What was it like winning the Super Bowl?
It's like football destination, like football heaven. Like it's the ultimate goal. Like that's what you dream of when you play football, at least, you know, most of us. So it's surreal once you know the clock strikes zero and then confetti falls, you know, you're looking around trying to find, you know, your family and looking at teammates like, yo, we really won this. And it's crazy. It's, man, people storming the field. You got people snapping. You got photographers and media snapping pictures from everywhere. You don't know where to go. I mean, I was looking around like, man, where should I even go right now? What end of the field should I walk to? And then they start setting up the stage and stuff. And then you're like, oh, okay, everything's going to be down here. And
did you feel like you got screwed at all for the Super Bowl MVP?
Nah, man, not at all. Because, you know, Von, man, he played an amazing game. He made most of those plays happen, you know, from the first early touchdown to my fumble recovery, the pressure he was putting on him and D-Ware. And if I would have just did what I was supposed to do, I would have won it. So stay on my feet and avoid that rush that was in the way, man. And, you know, it wouldn't have been no robberies. I would have won it. But, you know, it didn't happen that way. But we still got the chip and – that's most important.
So I got one more question for you before we go to the college thing. I heard in an interview with you that you don't go out in the field before the game.
Rarely. If I do, I'll just go out and walk around. I really don't work out, but I rarely go out there. Like,
really?
In my 89-year career, I count on two hands how many times I've been on the field, like, pregame.
Wow. That blows my mind for some strange reason.
Yeah, I've only been out there. One time I went out there one game and almost blew a gasket, man. I almost killed my game. Like, it was my first game back. We were playing the Chiefs. Now, this is not the main reason, but this is, like, to solidify the reason why I don't go out there. So I was going out there, and in my first game back, it was our second game of the year. And I was suspended the first game. And I came back, and we were on the road at Kansas City. It was early in the season, so it was hot. It was still hot. And I don't know if you have been to Kansas City, but it's humid. Mm-hmm. Right? It's kind of like Cleveland when it gets hot. You know, it's cold, but when it gets hot, it gets humid. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go out with E, Emmanuel, and warm up, get this route tree in, you know, catch the balls. No, actually, I just went out there just to do a light little warm-up, and E was doing the route tree. I was like, let me get my hands right and do this route tree with E. So I started doing the route tree, and we got into about three or four routes. Mind you, I had already did my own little warm-up. Man, I got done with that route tree. I was tired. Like, not, like, dead, but I was tired. I'm like, shit, I'm tired, I hope. Like, I'm not dehydrated. So I go in, get an IV. First half's come, I'm cool. End of the second quarter, I must have, they threw like a quick out and I went to go break it up and just an easy little break up and I cramped up and it was like, and he caught it, turned up the sideline. I'm like, oh man.
Dang. Do you remember who caught it?
It wasn't Kelsey, it was the other time. I think maybe a Fasano.
Anthony Fasano, yeah.
It may have been but, so I'm cramping. We go into halftime. I drink this, like, some juice they give me for dehydration. And I come back out the second half, and I could feel it on my stomach. It's just, my whole stomach just watery because I've been drinking. I've been drinking fluids all halftime. So the play is going on, and, like, right before the ball, or right after the play, I'm getting the next play, and I just feel all of it come up. So I'm on the field. I throw it up on my helmet, and I'm running to the sideline like on some Willie Beeman. dude's on the sideline like, oh, what the hell? So I'm like, I know this is going to be on ESPN because it was a Sunday night game, Monday night, something like that. But they didn't catch me, luckily. So
that's funny. Do you think that was the worst play and worst game you ever had?
Not the worst game. Close to it, though. It was bad.
What do you think the best game or the best play you ever made was?
The best game I probably had was maybe Minnesota when I had two sacks and a forced fumble to win a game, Super Bowl year 2015. My rookie year in Jacksonville, I had a really good game. I had two picks.
Mm-hmm.
One game I had in Cleveland, we played Pittsburgh, and we won. I had three forced fumbles that game. It was pretty good. I was smacking everything moving. Pow, forced fumble. Pow, forced fumble. that was probably my best game, I think. That was a good game. I think I was still playing special teams, too, so I had some special teams tackles.
Yeah, man, if you look at your highlight tape, it's a lot of big hits. There's one, I think it was Zach Taylor. Was it Zach Taylor? The quarterback for whatever. It was in a bowl game. We played Oklahoma State.
Zach Robinson.
Yes, and okay. I thought you killed them.
Yeah, me too. You know, the thing about that, I didn't know I hit him that hard. So game in the hotel lobby. Like, somebody showed it to me on YouTube. This is when YouTube first.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, did you see your hit? I'm like, what hit? He's like, what hit? Dude, you killed him. I'm like, all right.
He didn't watch it on
YouTube, and I'm like, oh.
I was, yeah.
No idea I hit him that hard. I don't know why, but. I didn't know. I had no idea. Like, nobody even told me, like, on the sideline or anything, like, in the locker room.
That's funny. Well, let me ask you a college question. Then I'll let Donovan take over. He's the West Coast guy. I'm sure he's got a lot of Oregon questions for you. But I know that, again, you're very active in watching football. You're constantly tweeting. I saw your tweets about Desmond Ridder. And what I talked to you about before the show, you said that you like Justin Fields more than Trevor Lawrence. Now, that's kind of a hot take. Can you explain that?
Yeah, man. I just think he's going to be better in the NFL. Lawrence, he's been, you know, a prodigy since high school and as a true freshman. You know, he's played great, like, since he's been at Clemson. There's no doubt in that. But I just think Fields, with, you know, the leadership he's shown through this end of the season and the way he's played the last bowl game, I just think he reminds me of Watson. And I think that they're a very similar game, and it's going to translate just like his on the next level. But Lawrence, I think he can have a very good career too. I'm not saying he won't have a great career, but I just think Fields, you know, hoping he gets in a good situation. I don't think neither one of them going to be in a great situation, but I think he'll have a better career.
That's interesting. Well, can I ask you, what's your prediction for the national championship?
Because that's kind of, you know, he'll be a better player.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, career is dictated so much by your surrounding cast and all that. So what's your prediction for the national championship game? You got Ohio State and you got Alabama. What do you got?
No, I want to take Ohio State. I really do. I don't know why, because of being an Oregon Duck, I really don't Ohio State at all. But I'm going to go with Bama. I'm going to take Bama. My boy Najee, you know, he's from my hometown. And, you know, he's been killing it since he was in high school. So I think he's going to, you know, run rampant on Ohio State's defense.
Really? Okay. And you think that's the big difference maker? Najee Harris is just that special?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Ohio State, they got good DBs. And, you know, Smith, he's been amazing this year. And he's going to be hard to stop. But I think, you know, it's going to begin and end with the run game.
Is there – I know you watch a lot of football, but if you can't answer this question, that's fine. Is there a defensive back that you specifically turn – when you're watching college football, you go, that's that guy's going to be the shit. Is there a specific guy that we should be watching out for that maybe we're not aware of?
This year in college football, you know what? I haven't paid that close attention to safeties, like, in that manner.
That's fair.
Yeah, I wish I could point one guy out right now.
That's fair. We'll have to bring you on the show closer to draft time, since you got aspirations of being a GM. Donovan, I know that you're, you know, a big West Coast guy. What you got for him?
Yeah, shout out Antioch, by the way, your hometown. I got family up there, so So shout out to – I'm San Diego, but shout out to Antioch, Bay, sure. Everything. I wanted to start with you. Thanks for coming on, by the way. I was a little late to the party. I apologize. But I just wanted to ask you kind of like – I want to go back, take it back, if Josh hadn't done that to De La Salle. Man, I'm a high school recruiting guy. Like, I got to go back to De La Salle, man. How was it being at one of the most historic programs in high school football history over time? And that program is just amazing. You got a movie, you know, made about you guys and everything. So how was it like playing for De La Salle in that program over the 4 years of high school?
Man, it was great. It was great. But for a high school student, it was a lot of pressure, you know, because, you know, we had the streak. And, you know, every year it's like, is this team going to be the team to lose the streak? So you working all summer like, oh, we're not going to be the team to lose the streak. So, I mean, it was great. I learned a lot, built some great relationships there. And built a lot of my work ethic and knowing how to prepare for games and, you know, just being kind of a professional in high school. Because a lot of guys in high school, it's still fun and games. Like, oh, we're going to go to the store before the game and come back. You know, it's still fun. But at De La Salle, back in the early 2000s, you know, it was a collegiately ran program, and not a lot of high school programs were ran like that back then. Like, you had the Modern Days and, you know, the Piles and some of the De La Salle schools that were known to be ran like college programs. But overall, you know, high school football was almost like Pop Warner. It kind of still is. But, you know, with that with the outreach it's having now, it's becoming so much, you know, bigger for these kids. And at De La Salle, knowing how to prepare and be a pro that early, it got us ready for college, so we weren't in shock, like, when we got to college. And knowing how to watch film and, you know, playing in big games, it's like, oh, okay, the lights are on, it's 50,000 people, cool, let's go, you know?
Yeah, you guys are playing on Fox Sports West and
One. High school football was rare on TV. Now they prime time.
Yeah. Well, I remember those days, man, just right. like Josh said, growing up in California, from Southern California, but still, like, watching De La Salle was like, we would be hyped every week to watch Modern Day because that was Southern California school. But then up north, it was you guys, like De La Salle, always up in Concord. So you guys have so much history and tradition, man. Obviously, I'm going to exclude yourself from this conversation. You can add yourself. Who's the best player from De La Salle? I know you get asked this probably quite a bit, but.
Well, I mean.
And you, at least in your era.
DJ, I mean, Gatorade player of the year. He was the best high school player I've ever seen. Like, straight up. Like, DJ Williams was cold. He was the best De La Salle player. You got Kevin Simon, you know, Demetrius Williams, Maurice Drew.
I was going to say, Maurice Jones-Drew is probably, he's up there for sure.
Got some younger guys that are doing, you know, really well in college right now and, you know, early careers in the pros. So, the program has been doing well. We've, you know, consistently put guys in D1 programs, put guys in the NFL, and, you know, I know they continue to do so. So, proud to be a Spartan. Proud to be a Spartan for sure.
What's the camaraderie like? Is it still kind of that fraternity with the old Spartans and De La Salle teammates? You guys still talk to each other and keep up with each other?
Yeah, I mean, in smaller circles.
Right, yeah.
In smaller circles, but, you know, I see guys when I go back home that I went to high school with, and it's just like we were in the locker room back in high school, you know. There's no hiccups. You know, that's the kind of relationships that you built there, the brotherhood that we built at De La Salle with each other. Yeah, it's special.
Yeah, and I know, like, keeping on the West Coast, I had some questions about Oregon too. Who are some of the Oregon Ducks you looked up to before you got there? And who are some of your favorites kind of after? I know obviously you probably got to mention Marcus and Justin, the guys like that, but some of the guys before, I mean, Oregon wasn't always the program they were. They are now. A lot of the younger kids don't realize Oregon was at the bottom of the Pac-12 for a lot of years, man, before. So, but, you know, when you guys got there, really kind of took over. You know, had some down years for Oregon, but, you know, Austin Stadium, beautiful. I'm a USC guy, but I respect the Ducks.
Every time we play somebody in that third game, they be talking about the stadium. Like, man,
it's gorgeous, man.
Yeah, it's cool. But the first, actually my first player to fan of I was Ricky Whittle. He's actually my cousin on my dad's side. So growing up, I used to always see a picture at my grandma's house and he'd have his Oregon stuff on. He's the Oregon picture there. So I'm like, who is that? Oh, that's your cousin. So ever since then, like, that's when I first became an Oregon fan and watching them. And, you know, after that, it was like to the Fiesta Bowl team when they beat Colorado. You know, that team was really good. And that's when they had the new uniforms and the Joey Harrington and Maurice Morris and all those guys. That team was cold. Like, they were cold. I think they should have went to the Natty, but BCS played them and put Nebraska in Nebraska.
Yeah, I remember that. They should have. They definitely should have.
Colorado. So that team was loaded, man. That team was loaded. They had Ontario Smith. Had a bunch of guys on that team. And after that, you know, when I got into high school and really was watching Pac-12 or Pac-10 football, I kind of wanted to go to Cal and stay home. And then I got hurt my senior year, and I was like, shoot. Well, if I'm going to walk on somewhere, I'm going to go where all my boys is going. And I'm going to go up to Oregon. So went up there, and it worked out. You know, I earned a scholarship in 1 year. And, you know, I got tore my meniscus couple times, then finished with pretty healthy junior, senior year. So.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon as the program, as like I said, it's taken off, man. The jerseys, like you mentioned, I kind of wanted to go to that. What's your favorite comp? There's so many combos. Like, do you have a favorite combo? Or like, there's so many, man. I personally like the ones that when Marcus was playing there, I think they were playing Ohio State. I want to say, I like those.
Which ones were those? The all green?
Yeah, with the black helmet.
Yeah, I don't remember that game. I just remember the Rose Bowl when they played Florida State. But I like the Auburn Natty games that were black, white, with the like gray pants, and they had lime green cleats and socks. It was pretty clean. And I like the original Ducks with the Donald jumping through. green jersey.
Oh, yeah. Those are probably my all-time favorite, for sure.
Those are sick, man. So did you, how many times did you beat Cal when you were at Oregon? Beat up on your hometown team?
Man.
You guys, did you get a dub over them in the 4 years you were there?
No, I think I only beat Cal once, twice, maybe. I don't, I know they beat us. They would not. Nah, they beat us every year because they had Marshawn, DJ. Yeah. They beat us. The first 3 years, I didn't even play. I didn't even play Cal. Except 1 year, my junior year, and I snapped. Yeah.
Okay.
I was crazy. I had like 3 forced fumbles that game at home, but we lost in the rain on some. We lost crazy. We, that year we went to the Holiday Bowl and played Oklahoma State. But we lost 2 flu games that year to Cal and somebody. We could have easily. That team, we had national championship, like, caliber team on that year. We had Jay Bird, Pat Chung, Walt Thurman, LeGarrette Blount, Jeremiah Johnson. We had Will Tukwafu on defense, Spencer Paysinger. All these dudes played in the league. Casey Matthews. I think we had Nick Reed. Man, we had a bunch of guys on that
team. That's a nasty
dude. Dixon. Yeah, we was loaded.
Yeah, you guys were loaded, man. That's a,
I'll take that back. Dennis Dixon wasn't there. We had Jeremiah Masoli.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He's still up in the CFL, right?
Yeah.
I like Jeremiah, man. Yeah, he is balling up there for sure. Do you still have a relationship with Spencer Paysinger? I mean, he's like, I mean, known now for, you know, TV stuff.
You know, I talk to him on Twitter a lot. I mean, but that's as good as any communication these days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really do you watch it? Have you seen, you've watched that show?
Yeah, I watched it. I watched the first season.
It's a good show. Yeah, third season's coming out.
It was good. It was good. I got to catch up on the other 2 seasons. This is so much, too many things on TV.
It's a lot.
Platforms is like, I don't know what to watch because it's too much to watch.
There is a lot to watch, though. You got to watch Spencer's show, though, about him.
So. Oh, yeah.
No, but I wanted to ask another Oregon question. Like I said, sticking to the West Coast. What do you think about this success Justin's having this year? Justin Herbert, possibly Rookie of the Year. No, obviously Justin Jefferson could win that as well from LSU, but looking like he could win. Were you kind of surprised by the success, or is this kind of that's just Justin Herbert? I've always liked Justin. You know, I know he's from local kid from Eugene. He's worked his ass off to get where he's at, and I met him last year in Atlanta at the college football award show. He's great. He's like one of the nicest, quietest guys though I've ever met for sure. Definitely wasn't a rah-rah typical quarterback type of guy, but didn't command the room or anything. But I am really happy for him just because he's stayed true to himself and works on his craft a lot. So I'm happy for Justin. But what are your thoughts on this success?
Anybody thought he was going to come in firing like that? If you ask the Chargers that they think he was going to come in firing like that, they're going to tell you, yeah, but they ain't going to believe it because he had an amazing season. Like he was setting records. Like, I don't care how good you thought a rookie was going to be. He set the records. Like, they weren't going to be that good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you weren't going to be that good. Like, record setting good. But, you know, kudos to him, man. My hat is off because I love when guys, especially, you know, Oregon guys, prove, you know, naysayers and doubters wrong. I knew he would be good, but he came in and was tremendous. So, you know, hats off to him.
Yeah, hats off to him. He's been doing well. And my last question I throw back to Josh is just kind of the same question I asked
him. Was on my fantasy.
Okay, well, that's good. That's definitely really? A good thing. That's definitely a good thing.
Yeah, you got me, and I won.
All right, congrats, man.
You won it all?
I won it all. First time fantasy quit.
Hell yeah, man. Really? Josh almost, you lost by like 9 points, Josh.
Yeah, I had Watson.
I was sad, dude. I was sad. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Watson, Justin. Okay. Two QB league.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got
How do you play? That's got to be really hard for you to play fantasy football because you're drafting dudes you know. You're like, oh, man, I'm friends with this guy, but, man, he sucks.
Yeah, that goes out the window. You got to look at this is a science. It's just not like – and I was telling the room that I was in, like, you know, some guys had some early success and was lucky. I'm like, yo, this is football. It's a long season. Just wait. Oh, you weak. You suck. Oh. All right, I look up. I'm in the playoffs. Okay. then I win it all. I said, I told you guys this is a science.
And a lot of analytics on
football. Like, I didn't think, oh, he's having a good year. No, you have to know the matchups. If you don't, like, the thing was to me, because I'm looking up Fantasy Live and the pregame and, you know, some of the fantasy experts, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, got a whole country of people listening to you, and you have no idea what you're talking about. I'm not playing this guy. He's benched.
But that's amazing. So not only are you a Super Bowl champion and a former All-Pro, but you're now fantasy expert.
Yeah, fantasy expert. I had Chubb too.
I'll have to add that to the, okay, the bio.
Browns wire.
I dumped him when he got hurt. I was like, that was dumb.
Yeah, that was dumb. What kind of league you playing in, man? How many people in this league? Who's in this league? I'm questioning this league. I'm just kidding. No, it's all good.
Hey, I'm questioning it too. I'm gonna join another one next year.
We joined the Don James Sports League, man. Join that one. Me and Josh, everybody's joining. Got a good league.
Fantasy football.
My last thing for you is just like, I don't know if Josh already asked you this, possibly could have. I heard y'all talking about NFL when I hopped in, but I always ask everyone this. Who was the toughest player you had to prepare or play against, either in the NFL or college? Or you can go back to De La Salle if you want.
Man. Well, I mean, my high school career wasn't too long. So I'm going to scratch that.
Okay.
College, you know, playing Andrew Luck in Stanford was always tough, you know.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't too complicated, but it was – they made you get out your gaps. And then they had Toby Gerhardt.
Dude, that's the type of players I ever played against, Toby. I played him at Norco.
The team. That's when that's when they started ascending. But they would make you get out your gaps, and, oh, man, it was just frustrating sometimes that if our linebacker or D-tackle would move, then it'd be like a 20, 30-yard game. And then they'd slow the game down so much to where, you know, it really became boring. Now you out there, it's boring. Like, golly. But they move, march it down your throat, so it's not too boring, you know. In the pros, sheesh. Man, it seemed like everybody was
I get that answer a lot.
Russell, his ability to scramble and get out of bad situations is so frustrating. So he was a tough play. And then as far as like, I'm going to just go to backs because I get this question a lot. Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson, like the two toughest preparation-wise and on the field tackling-wise, I think in my career that I had to go against. Just because Frank Gore, man, he didn't give you anything to tackle. He was really quick and strong, explosive. His feet had great feet. And then AP, you know, AP is AP. You know, he walks like a wild man. And, you know, he's fast, strong, and everything you want from a running back. So,
you think Frank Gore is going to be able to play long enough to play with his son? He's a freshman at Southern Miss right now. Hey, it's possible.
It is possible. I mean, I'm not doubting him. I'm definitely not doubting him because, you know, he looked better than a lot of running backs this year, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he did. Who was the best player you played with? Or, like, you know, a guy that you saw at practice and you were like, damn, that guy's good.
You're like D-Ware and Vi. Like,
really?
Vi Miller, like, them two, like, on the same field together is like seeing the Obi-Wan and Luke, you know what I'm saying? Like, that type was like, oh, man, these two dudes is really great. Like, they're really great. So, yeah, those two for sure. Peyton, of course, on a type of different level, but, like, intellectually and making throws and commanding a team. But as far as just, like, greatness and performance and the physicality and somebody just unstoppable, those two, like, ends is like, okay, yeah. I played two of the best that ever played a game. Hands down, top five.
That makes sense. Donovan, did you have anything else?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I mean, I could ask CJ questions all day, but I don't want to take his time up like that. He's got a newborn, I heard, too. Congrats. So.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, shout out TJ for being on. But, yeah, I'm good, man. I appreciate it.
Well, let me ask you one more question. Obviously, you know, the off season's coming up. What do you have planned for this off season and in your future?
Well, immediately I'm helping Landau Performance out here in Denver, train some of the combine guys and pro day guys they got. But I'm going to enjoy it. Hopefully we can get out the house and go on vacation. I can kick it with my family and see my family. I haven't seen my family in a while. They're back in California. So that's for sure the first thing I'm going to do. Then I'm going to go to Atlanta and make sure my juice bar is, you know, ticking okay.
And, well, you got a juice bar in Atlanta, right? I live in Georgia right now.
Oh yeah, it's in McDonough,
bro. That's
in Georgia.
For real, I'm in like Stockbridge.
Okay, yeah, Stockbridge. That's right before McDonough.
That's crazy.
You're like 10 minutes away. That's
yeah, man.
Yeah, so I opened that about 2 years ago, and I closed it down for a little bit just because of Corona and everything else. Mm-hmm. I'm holding it back up while the weather, trying to get a little bit better coming up. But yeah, I got a couple of other business ventures that, you know, I'll be announcing pretty shortly. So definitely keep you guys in the loop about it.
Definitely. That's exciting. And you said you're helping out some dudes with pre-combine workout stuff?
Some combine pro day guys and, you know, give a little bit of what I know.
That's great. That's awesome. We'll have to have you back on the show before the draft. Get some of your insight on some of these guys.
Cool. No doubt. I will definitely come on.
Absolutely. Well, that was TJ Ward, former Cleveland Browns great, Super Bowl MVP, all pro. TJ, you want to tell everybody where they can follow you on Twitter?
Follow me, Boss Ward, BossWard43. And the same for Instagram. Yeah, that's it.
The one and only. And this is Josh Keatley. You can find me on Twitter at JoshKeatley16. Donovan, where can the people hit you up at?
Yeah, the name remains the same. Follow me on Twitter at DonAnSports. I appreciate y'all so much. Thank you. Do that next week.
And this was the Browns Wire Podcast.
Thank you.
This is your Wendy's wake-up call. Start your day with a better breakfast and get a free drink with any of our morning-making breakfast sandwiches. That's your favorite drink in a Wendy's cup, free. Fresh brewed coffee, free. Diet Coke, free. Vanilla Frosty Chino, that's cold brew plus Frosty Creamer plus free. So don't sleep on this deal. Get any size drink in a Wendy's cup free when you buy any breakfast sandwich. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating Wendy's. On the card only. Offer valid upon request on lowest price qualifying item. Not valid for third-party delivery.
Family. It looks a little different for everyone. For some, it's mom and dad. For others, roommates who feel like family. And for others, it's your significant other, their golfing buddies, your children, a high school soccer team starting lineup, and oh look, they're all taking you up on the offer to stay for dinner. Really testing the limits of that phrase, the more the merrier. But no matter where you call home, Geico makes it easy to bundle and save on home and car insurance. Easier than making three frozen pizzas and assorted frozen veggies into a cohesive meal.